I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Satin, could hear the recent passing of employee Sue Bach. Sue started in the district in 2001 as a special education instructional aide. In 2006, she became a health assistant until 2012, when she was promoted to her most current position at the school office clerk in the attendance office. All her position was at Irvine Intermediate School. We were also sent to hear of the passing of retired employee Robin Chires. Robin started in the district in 1999 as an account technician, one in the business office. She retired as an accounting technician two in the December 2005 and continued on as a substitute in the district until 2007. Alumni of the district, Jose Fernandez, 2016, graduate of Gandoy High School, passed away from a car accident this past weekend. And Carrie Burnett, 2001, graduate of the Pacifica High School, was one of the many victims of the Las Vegas tragedy this past weekend. We extend our deepest sympathy to the families of Robin Chires, Sue Clark, Jose Fernandez, and Carrie Burnett. Moment of silence begin. Moment of silence now ended. Please be seated. Thank you for the regular meeting today. Our first item on the agenda is on the public comments. We have a number of requests that remind everyone to keep your limit. Limit your statement within 3 minutes, period. First request from Mr. Nicholas Dips.
President Nguyen, members of the school board, Dr. Mafi, staff, community members, my name is Nicholas Dibbs. I'm a resident of Trustee Area Number 1. I'm following up on my request from the board meeting on September the 5th. No one has gotten back to me, so I'm going to ask Terry Rocco, who represents Trustee Area 1, if she would please author, and I'll be happy to send you a draft, but author a board policy that under no circumstances should any GGUSD staff use district resources and or district time to affect school district elections in the future. I think we need this board policy as soon as possible. It cannot wait until the normal routine of reviewing board policies. It needs to come up right away. And since no one has brought it forward to the board, I'd like to ask you, Ms. Rocco, to please bring that up so it can be voted on and implemented. The heart of our democracy and republic is that we have fair elections. And when you're running for public office, the government agency or agencies that that a candidate is running in, the staff and the government resources are not supposed to be used to affect the or possibly influence the outcome of the elections. Now that, I think most everybody in this room would hopefully agree with that. It's not about one person or one campaign or one election, it's in general. And so I'm asking that this policy be implemented as soon as possible in the board policies, because it's not there right now, so we make it clear that staff time and school district resources are not to be used under any circumstance at all to possibly influence or affect an election. And I think this needs to be understood by everybody that works in this district. And so I'm asking Ms. Rocco if you would please bring that forward, And I'll be happy to send you a draft if that'll help. But it needs to be implemented as soon as possible. And I thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dips. Next requested, Damien Garcia Morey.
Thank you very much, President Lund, ladies and gentlemen of the board, Dr. Mafi, and guests. I'm here on a couple of items. First of all, I want to thank the district, especially the board, for the dual language immersion program. My daughter got in, so our whole family's excited. I mean, literally, we're celebrating, and my daughter's making money because she asked for 25 cents every time I speak English. So it's going really good. So I really, really want to thank the district for that. Another thing is I wanted to invite board members or anybody else that have a relationship in the district that would like to go to Alumni Pillar of Achievement Award, which I will be the awardee. I'm a product of the district. I am so honored, humbled, and proud to receive this award. I used to attend these a couple of these when I was in college, and I'm like, wow, that's wonderful, but you know, love that, but that would never be me up there. And lo and behold, here I am. It's a really huge award. They do it once a year for alumni. So it's October 19th, 2017, 2:30. So I understand some of you might already have something on your schedule, but you know, whoever can honor me with your presence, I'd really like that. Lastly is I'm shifting gears with my community involvement. I think you guys all know I'm involved with a lot of different things. I'm going to be letting go of a lot of things and really committing myself to OC Autism with their with the development of the nonprofit and fundraising. So I'm here on behalf of them tonight. Just want to let you know that OC Autism, as you know, serves primarily children from Westminster Garden Grove, but probably more Garden Grove. Most of the partnerships are here in Garden Grove, so it's your children that are being served. And so they have a gala November 11th from 6 to 10 p.m. So I know a lot of you are already supporting OC Autism, but you know, I just want to invite everybody so that you can please continue to support us in any way possible, even if it's just letting friends, family know about the event, even other parents. That would be great if we could let all the parents know that they can come out and you know, support this great organization. So that's basically it. I gave some flyers, and I have a few flyers here with me. So if anybody else wants some, you can just please raise your hand. I'll quietly go give you one. Thank you very much for your time, and go Monroe.
All right. That concludes our public comments. Next item on the agenda is to approve the minute from our last meeting on September 19th. Any comments, requests for changes? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote.
Mrs. Levine?
Yes.
Mr. Milliken?
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Henning?
Aye.
Aye. Next, on item three is public hearings, presentation, and report. We have no public hearing today, but we have a presentation, very exciting one, going to be led by John Moss, Director of Instructional Technology, with the help of Monica Acosta, and Director of the K-6 Instructional Service, with Lila Jenkins, Director of 712 Instructional Service, and I'm Garcia, Director of K-12 Educational Services.
You know, whenever you're waiting for technology, it always seems like the longest period of life. But the good thing is all these things are so energy efficient. This is really a cost savings to us when we're buying these devices. So it is a good thing.
You we need more light for the solar energy.
We might need more light for the solar, yes. Yes, here. Okay, well, good evening, President Nguyen, board members, Superintendent Mafi, staff and guests. My name is John Marsh from the Office of K-12 Educational Services. My co-presenters tonight are Monica Barra-Costa from the Department of K-6 Instruction, Emma Druitt from the Department of K-6 Mathematics, and Amy Garcia from the Office of K-12 Educational Services. Tonight, we'd like to share with you an informational presentation about the 2016-17 data highlights, as well as some instructional updates. The information that we present will highlight data that informs our decisions in support of our district goals. In addition, we'll provide examples of how data is used to inform instruction to support student achievement and provide high-quality professional development to staff throughout the school district. Our district goals are measured using a variety of indicators, including academic scores, survey data, and college admissions information. Tonight, I'll be highlighting data tied to goal one, and Amy will be highlighting data tied to goals two and three. The data highlights would not be possible without the support our teachers receive from the offices of instruction. Emma and Monica will be highlighting some of our professional development as well as instructional initiatives. We'll first look at goal one, the academic skills that all learners need to grow towards mastery. Please keep in mind tonight that although academic goals are important, here in Garden Grove we focus on helping students develop personal skills through goal two, as well as lifelong success as identified in goal three. State testing provides us an opportunity to reflect on the performance of our students and determine better ways of supporting them in the future. Although I want all students throughout the nation to improve, I really take pride in the fact in knowing that here in Garden Grove, we are a top performing school district for helping students grow in their academic achievement as measured by state testing. Please take a moment to compare the demographics of the county and the state to the Garden Grove Unified School District. The chart above displays the percentage of students who are English language learners designated as ELL and the percentage of students who qualify for the free and reduced price meal program designated as FRPM. Although we expect all students to make academic gains, supporting growth over time is very important, a consideration when serving English language learners as well as students who qualify for the free and the reduced price meal program. Please take a moment to look at this graph, which displays the percentage of students meeting or exceeding standards on the English language arts portion of the SBAC. Over the past 3 years, as we look at how our school district has performed compared to the county, as well as to the state, you now see that we match the percentage of students who are meeting or exceeding standards in English language arts. We also continue to be above the state percentage each and every year. In looking at growth over the past 3 years, our district has grown at twice the rate compared to the county, being up 8 percentage points compared to the county being up only 4 percentage points over these last 3 years. Please take a moment to look at the graph, which displays the percentage of students meeting or exceeding standards on the mathematics portion of the SBAC. Just like in the previous graph, we continue to outperform the state each and every year. We are now within 1 percentage point of matching the county for the percentage of students meeting or exceeding standards. Considering back in 2015, we were 8 percentage points away from the county, this is a very impressive gain. Over the last 3 years, we have seen an 8-point gain, which is more than double the gain the county has seen. As I mentioned earlier, we expect all students to make academic gains. When we look outside of our immediate area and consider the 141 other districts who serve a similar population of students, out of those 141 districts in California, Garden Grove is number one in the percentage of students meeting or exceeding standards for both English language arts as well as mathematics. Looking at our close neighbors such as Long Beach, the Anaheim Union High School District, as well as Santa Ana, our performance is much higher when compared to these similar school districts. These impressive gains would not have been possible without the professional development as well as the instructional initiatives that have taken place here in Garden Grove. I would now like to introduce Emma Druitt, who's going to talk about professional development.
Thank you. Good evening. So I have the distinct honor to discuss our professional development that we provide in Garden Grove. In 2013-14, with the implementation of our new state standards, we knew that we would need to provide content support for our teachers. And the way that we do this is through our very robust professional development program through the Departments of Instruction. Some of the ways we do this are our Summer Institute program, which is a professional development model that has been created where teachers in K-6 and 7-8 have the opportunity to provide instruction for students and receive professional development in one day. So it's a split model. And the teachers are able to not only receive that PD, but then apply it directly the very next day in the classroom. We also have our Super Week program, which is historically offered the week before teachers come back. And a Super Week is a time where teachers can come and receive multiple offerings of professional development. And in the spring, we do a survey of the teachers and the administrators to determine what their needs are. And then the professional development is created accordingly so that we can make sure we're meeting the needs of our teachers. We do have after-school professional development that we offer. Often it's a repeat of what has been offered in Super Week, but it's also a time for us to provide some professional development in areas that maybe we weren't able to cover and that our teachers may need at very specific times throughout the year. Then we also have some site-based PD, which is it is embedded year-long PD within the teacher's school day. So there are a lot of different opportunities for teachers to receive professional development, both outside and during their school day. Who, you may ask, provides all the professional development? Well, we have an amazing group of teachers on special assignment in a variety of departments who work tirelessly to create and present and support, ongoing support, for our professional development, for our teachers. And they not only provide the professional development, but they also go back into the classroom and have an ongoing support system that the teachers are able to take advantage of. We do have our induction office, which is taking care of our first and second year teachers, and they provide that additional support to the teachers as they take them through their induction program. So a lot of support for our teachers for professional development. But what we do know is that we can go farther, faster when we collaborate with our teachers. So building teacher leaders is a very important component to the work that we do in the district. So we have instructional leadership teams at the K-6 and 7-12 levels. And what these are principals work with identified teacher leaders at their school sites to facilitate the development of aligned instruction. They meet various times throughout the year, look at instruction, look at students, how they're progressing, meeting standards, and have those really in-depth discussions about what can be done, what are their next steps. We have demonstration and lead teacher development, which helps build the capacity around content by allowing teachers to learn from each other. Then we have our grade level and department chairs. Grade level are at the K-6 level, and department chairs are at our 7-12 level. This helps coordinate communication efforts throughout the school year, and it helps us establish a feedback loop with the teachers and the district so that we can get a good idea, a good pulse of how our teachers are doing, what needs they have on a constant basis. They're both held once a month, so we get a very systematic feedback from them. And then our instructional technology. Schools have identified instructional technology coordinators that come up and receive monthly professional development as well on various applications, programs, things that they can take back to their school sites and help their teachers, because we are in a time of learning how to use technology to support our instruction. So they are a key component to moving us forward with our use of technology. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Monica.
So Emma shared a little bit about how we deliver professional development and who we're working with and when. I'm going to share a little bit about what it is that we provided that professional development in. So as you may recall, last year was our first year of implementation of brand new English language arts textbooks. Again, thank you very much for all of those resources. One of the things we found out with this first year of implementation was that it was a tremendous team effort. It says here that we were unpacking resources. We were both literally and figuratively unpacking resources. We found from the very beginning, when the warehouse received thousands upon thousands of books and boxes that needed to be unpacked and then repacked so that it was delivered in succinct manner that the custodians could then deliver it to classrooms. Our deliveries, our truck drivers that were going back and forth to making sure that the teachers had everything that they needed. From our informational technology group downstairs here, who had to work with us very closely to determine how it was that they were going to code the resources. We had more digital content than we've ever had before, and it meant that they literally had to figure out a way to get give each teacher and student access to those resources in a way that was simple, but it really wasn't that simple, so we thank them. Finally, our teachers who dove in learning new stories, learning new informational text, assessment tools, and writing resources, and they collaborated with their peers to develop rich standards-based lessons. This year, we also took care to address our English learners. For the first time, we've had new English language development lessons and materials that were aligned with the resources that they're reading in their regular core block at the K-6 level, as well as new curriculum resources for our students with special needs that was adaptable and it was aligned to their particular IEP goals. So again, we think that some of the gains that we saw in English language arts could be attributed to the new resources, as well as the teacher and the entire team's effort at making sure that teachers, students had access to those resources immediately. In mathematics, on the other hand, it was a little bit different. We found ourselves in the second year of implementation, which meant that we had some data upon which we could act. So at the very beginning, we took great care to analyze our assessment data to determine where our area of focus should be. We created new pacing that aligned to the standards. You know, we found that there were some places that perhaps we needed to give students additional time and maybe not just cover the curriculum, but actually help our students get to mastery in certain areas. Through this process, we worked very closely with our teachers to identify key resources and tools and provide them with the training to use them with our students. Last, as Emma mentioned earlier, we are very pleased with our Summer Math Institute, and we look forward to sharing some of that key learning we had with those groups of teachers that worked with us in the summer as we scale that information across our district. And our focus on that was on academic discourse in mathematics, but it certainly applies in all areas. So thank you again for all of your support. We very much appreciate it. Amy is now going to speak to us about goals 2 and 3.
Okay, I am going to begin with a presentation on goal 2, personal skills. And personal skills contains the areas of motivation, social and emotional well-being, as well as positive school climate. As we transition from goal 1 to goal 2, we're going to take a moment to look at our California Accountability Dashboard. So as you may be aware, California's new accountability system provides information available on the website, CDE website, about about all our California schools. And there's two reports. There's one called the California School Dashboard, as well as the California Model 5x5 Grid Placement Report. As part of the California Dashboard, there are 8 state priorities, which you may have heard of, and there are areas that are measured there we go, brought it back. Okay, There are areas that are measured, our state indicators, through data such as our smarter balance assessments and through our English learner progress indicator, graduation rate. So there are those areas in the green box that are measured as our state indicators. In addition, there's actually four local indicators that are measured and rated at the local level. So our district will be providing information to stakeholders about how we progress in the areas of priority 1, 2, 3, and 6. And so we're going to look at the next chart, which will show us how we did. In priority 1, which is around basic services, and basic services are related to our teacher assignments or misassignments, having access to standards-aligned instructional materials, and having our facilities in good repair. This information is measured by information that's reported on our school accountability report card, also known as the SARC. And so because we have no misassignments, no lack of materials, and no facilities in bad repair, we have a rating of met. In priority 2, which is our implementation of state standards, there is a self-rating tool that the state has developed. It's a self-reflection tool that asks us to look at our implementation of professional development aligned to our state standards, as well as our use of instructional materials, programs to support staff in identifying areas to improve, and also our support for teachers and administrators, and they specify for that one in 2015-16. Looking at this information and the rating tool provided by the state, we will have a rating of met. For priority area number 3, parent engagement, the state asks us to provide a local survey to our parent stakeholders. And so our local survey is our strategic plan, annual survey that we provide to parents. And they are specifically looking at areas on that survey that they want us to report around how we seek input from parents in decision making and promotion of parental participation. And so looking at those areas of our survey, our rating shows us met. And for area 6, priority 6, school climate, they would like the district to, again, administer a local survey to students and measure the 3 specific areas for this purpose: school connectedness and school safety. We have also included bullying, and for this area, we are showing as met. So the way that looks, when we log into the dashboard before December 1st, we have until December 1st to load the information into the dashboard site, and when the public will look at our website, they will see the local indicators. Right now they show as NA because they have not been loaded in, and upon loading them in, those ratings will show as met. Okay. So that was in transition. I know we had a slide that started as goal 2, but as you can tell, the California dashboard, local indicators, priority area 2 is part of goal 1, whereas priority areas 1, 3, and 6 are connected to our area, our goal 2. So this is where we transition into looking more specifically now at our strategic plan survey data. In our 2017 administration of the survey, we completed many, many surveys. Students in grades 3 through 12, over 30,000, over 12,689, not over, 12,689 families did respond to our parent survey, and over 2,600 staff. And that would be all staff, part-time, full-time, certificated, classified. Everyone had an opportunity to respond to our survey. So we're going to go through and provide a few key highlights from each of these stakeholder groups. Student highlights, from what you can see here, some of our top highlights are that our students feel our teachers believe in them and focus on academic success, as well as the fact that students do feel they have the opportunities to receive intervention and participate in activities. So these are some of our high areas. Oops, high five. And then present you with a couple quotes, one from an elementary student and one from a high school student. I'll let everybody read that. Take a moment. And it's no doubt that our students had plenty of great things to say about their schools, the staff, the teachers, the learning environment. And so this is just two quotes that represent a multitude of great things that people have to say. Staff survey highlights. These are some of our high areas. Our staff continue to show us that they are proud to work in Garden Grove Unified School District. Our staff believe in the climate of support, that our schools are supportive, inviting places to learn, and that we are very encouraging. Here we present you with a few quotes from our different employee groups. Again, this is just a sampling, but definitely as we ask our staff what are some of the great things about our district or our schools and what are some areas for improvement, a wide variety of comments of great programs that our teachers, our classified staff, our administrators, everyone who has many things that they want to focus on to share with us what they see as the great things about our district. Parent survey highlights some of our top areas here. Our parents also perceive our schools to be places that all students are being academic, that all students have staff who are believing that they can be academically successful, believe that their children are happy and their background and culture is respected, where they're greeted with courtesy and respect. So those were all highly rated areas. One new area that we added to our parent survey this year was to look at parent preferred methods of communication. Communication. And so, did you catch that? I was like, oh, okay. But if you don't know what I'm laughing about, it's okay. So the methods that parents indicated that they prefer to use to receive communication, we thought this was very interesting. So these are the percent of families who said agree and strongly agree to each of those methods. So School Messenger continues to be highly preferred, or it's a method that they do agree that they receive a lot of their information. As with all our stakeholder groups, we do provide an opportunity for people to provide open response comments in areas of strength and improvement. So we've listed here the top four themes. So we take all the responses, whether the parents respond to us in Spanish and Vietnamese and English and Korean, we take all those responses, translate them, code them, and are able to provide top themes from parent comments. Of course, there are more themes than this, but these are just the top four, if you would consider that, areas of strength and areas for improvement. The top comment that we receive for areas of improvement, what is one thing you'd want to improve, is nothing. So, but then we have, you know, more special program safety food. In general, from our survey, we do have other areas for improvement that we look at in terms of our decision-making and planning for our district. We look at this, and this feedback is incorporated into our local control accountability planning, our school planning at both the district and site level. So while we are presenting to you our district-wide results here tonight, each school site also receives reports that provide them how their parents, how their students, how their staff responded to the survey, and that is incorporated into their school planning at the school level. Now we move forward into goal 3, lifelong success. So the first metric that we're going to be looking at tonight is graduation rate. So each year we've been presenting this to the board and on to, in our annual report, and we look at Garden Grove Unified as compared to the Orange County and the California rate. So we present to you tonight the 2016 rates, where Garden Grove continues to be outperforming. 92.1%. For advanced placement, another area that we like to highlight and present, we have all our students take are taking an advanced placement coursework and take those AP tests. They can earn a score between 1 and 5. So 5 is the highest. So here, what we're presenting is of all the students in the entire world taking AP tests, there is a 58.1% pass rate. The average score of all students in the world taking AP tests is 2.86 out of 5. That's the global pass rate and average. United States, 57.5% pass rate, 2.84 average. California, and what's Garden Grove? 64.3% pass rate. We broke the 3.0 barrier, because last year we were slightly under 3, so we are now, we have a 3.01 average score this past 2017 school year. Garden Grove's AP pass rate and average score went up from the prior year. Looking at A through G rates, we've been showing you some different ways to present A through G rate. This year we decided to show it to you in this manner, where we are looking at other school districts in Orange County that have 2,000 or more seniors. So you can see where Garden Grove falls at 51.6% A through G eligibility met, which does exceed the Orange County and California average. So we continue to see success in this area. Another metric we are looking at, CELA biliteracy. So our students being bilingual, biliterate, as they move on, they're graduating from high school, able to show proficiency and mastery in both English and in language other than English. In 2017, we awarded an outstanding 632 SEALs. And here this chart shows you in which languages those were awarded. Since the time that we began awarding CELA biliteracy, 2,783 SEALs since 2014. Our students showing proficiency in English and a language other than English. So that's definitely something to celebrate as well. Looking at information, so goal 3A is looking at metrics that are student college and career readiness. Goal 3B is looking at college and career success. So we want to see, are there ways that we can look at our students after they graduate? How could we measure their success? One of the ways that we do that is through our student tracker for high school service, where the National Student Clearinghouse is able to tell us and give us information about our students who enroll in a post-secondary institution, whether they are retained year after year, what degrees that they're earning. And so we thought we'd give you a snapshot of the class of 2009 as a snapshot of this Goal 3B success. So of the class of 2009, when we look at where they were last year in the 2016-17 school year, 81.5% of them have pursued some type of post-secondary education since graduating from high school. I know you've seen in the past rates that show the percent of students that are entering two-year, four-year, but what happens over time, maybe they don't enter post-secondary experience directly after graduating high school, but you can see that over time, more and more students start to pursue post-secondary education. So we are showing that 81.5%. Of the entire class of 2009, another key highlight to look at, nearly 40% of our students have completed an associate's, bachelor's degree or higher. So nearly 40% of them have earned some type of degree from the class of 2009. and another 17% are still currently pursuing their program. And so that's just a few key highlights from Goal 2 and 3, and I will return it to John.
So in summary, you've seen information and data that's been collected around Goals 1, 2, and 3. Goal 1, we've seen strong success within our state test scores. Within Goals 2 and 3, we've seen our staff and our students are reporting a very positive and connected climate here in our school district. And of course, all this would not be possible without the professional development that's taking place, as well as the instructional initiatives that are taking place within the school district. And with that, we'll be finishing our presentation, and it will be now time for any questions that may anybody might have.
First question. I think this, now that we have this really nice report, there's a lot of things that we can be proud of, we can celebrate about. I mean, my question is that, is it possible you can convert this one into some sort of report to the community? Now that we had a material, we had a voiceover, and we can do that, and we can just put it over, we can do that, so that we can invite the parent or stakeholder to kind of listen to the same thing that we had the privilege to listen to like today.
Definitely, we can post that on our district website to have a presentation that the parents would not only see, but be able to hear. And the same information presented to them. Yes.
I have a question. In regards to Goal 2, and it also pertains to professional development, and I'm just kind of looking at bullying and other things that we have noted that we need to improve on, I'm curious, do we offer any training specifically for the LGBT students that identify as LGBTQ?
Training and specifics that we have, we do have that in specific to the student needs. I'm not certain, I would have to double check if we have programs under that title, but we do service that population, provide meeting their needs, and perhaps Kelly can shed some light on that.
Sorry,
yes.
Yes,
we do provide what we call direct training through opportunities and resources through Orange County Department of Education. We have several teachers who service, for example, PAL and Friday Night Live advisors, as well as club advisors on the campus, in which they take their students and their club leaders and their student leaders that identify as LGBTQ or that have friends or associate with that to different conferences and workshops at the county or throughout the area to meet like students and other types of things. And in fact, tonight, a report from our student board rep will be highlighting a workshop in which he attended in which some of those topics were addressed.
Awesome. Thank you. Another thing, it's not related to this, but I just noted, John Marsh, you have a very nice voice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I have one more question. I know that we have a lot of collaboration in terms of developing the curriculum and the council thing. I wonder if we have the similar one with respect to the special ed program. Because in the past, someone have questioned, we busy developing everything out, and we took separate special assets like second seat, whether they have the time to develop that. I don't know if we can try to do, if you have a parallel program to go along with the general ed program.
So the Office of Special Education does work with both offices of curriculum, K-6 and 7-12 curriculum, to plan instruction and professional development for all of our special education teachers.
Okay, so what we develop in general ed will be really similar to what we have along the way with the special ed.
We target specifically to the curriculum that is geared towards our students first, because our students, special education students, some of them have alternative curriculum, so it's parallel, but we target it specifically at the needs of our special education students, so the teachers have targeted instruction.
Thank you. Any other question?
You know, there's a lot of good information here, obviously a lot of progress. There's one thing in this that jumps out at me, and it's not specifically the data, it's how we presented the data. And that's on the A to G rates, where we stopped comparing ourselves to our closest cohort, because we've because we're running away from them. From some of those districts that look like us, we're about to lap the field. And I really appreciate the fact that we look at the A to G rates and we say, we're not going to compare ourselves to Santa Ana Unified or Long Beach Unified. We're going to compare ourselves, or we're not just going to compare ourselves to them. We're going to compare ourselves to Huntington Beach and Capo and Irvine. Because if Capo can get 54.4% of their kids through A to G and we can get 51.6%, why can't we get 54? And I know we have that mindset here. Laura and I were talking about this 10 years ago. And we had a goal 10 years ago of passing Irvine in math scores. And in the previous set of measurements, we actually came pretty close to doing that at one point. And I really appreciate seeing the numbers presented that way, because I know we're thinking that way. And I want the community to know that we're thinking that way. We're not setting the bar low, we're setting the bar high. And as a result of setting the bar high, we're seeing results. And we should be shouting about those results, because they're really good. So, thanks.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much, presenter. Thank you for the time. Okay, back to the not exciting stuff. Item number 5 agenda with the programs and its instruction. I need a motion.
Move approval, item 5.
I'll second. Thank you. Item 5 to approve a request for an out district event to allow 5-1 engine challenge team member from Rancho Alamitos High School to attend the Hot Rodder and Tomorrow Engine Challenge in Las Vegas, Nevada, on October 30th to November 2nd this year. I'm again curious. This is so exciting. You see if you can explain to us what this challenge is about? You seem to be up to something really exciting here.
Yes, we have several automotive programs in our district, but particularly this one at Rancho is led by Mr. David Lee, an automotive CTE teacher at Rancho Alamitos High School. And their students compete first in order to even qualify for this. They have to compete in what we call progressive and local competitions. And with new state-of-the-art technology, these students actually compete by tearing apart an entire car engine, nuts and bolts, laying it all out in pieces beyond even something I have a hard time deciding how that would happen. And then they're timed in how fast they can put an engine back together. And while another team is actually then taking that engine and putting it into the body of the car, and then another team is putting together the actual mechanisms to make the car go. So it's really about teamwork, collaboration, designing, building, and then actually determining a product that is at a competitive level for time. Automotive industry specialists are there, industry sector folks are there to judge and help the students compete. And so now they've made it again to the regional competition in Las Vegas to be timed and to develop a product to execute and make go.
Thank you very much. Well, we can tag along if you want. Any comments, question?
I did have a comment. That really sounds amazing, and I know a lot of the automotive programs are doing really a great job, and they're being recognized a lot. I think it would be nice, you know, if one, it doesn't matter which high school, if they do like an exemplary job at one of these competitions, they get first place or they get a lot of accolades. I would like them to come here and for us to appreciate them like we do with academics and other programs.
They have come to the board several times, and we will invite them back again after.
Awesome.
Just have them bring an engine in. it's pretty impressive. I've been out there, and it's pretty impressive watching the work they do, and the number of scholarships that have come out of the program, and the number of kids in that program who have turned it either into further education or work when they get out of high school. It's a great program.
I have a question, Kelly. I think part of that also is the kids also have to be able to articulate what they're doing in writing and in presenting. So they're using their communication skills as well as their technical and their mechanical skills. So I have seen Rancho at different events, gone to the school or seen them at career night.
You are correct, Trustee Rocco. In fact, being, and I have visited with you when we go to the career nights at locally here in our district, the students have to have that skill of presenting and actually articulating how they completed that project and writing it down in a journal type of thing so that another student could follow the directions to do the very same project.
Yeah, really the goal is to develop those programs out so they meet those the requirements of ADG courses, which require not just the technical skills, but also the communication and writing skills as well.
You are correct. All of our pathways are yeah. now, the, that course in mm-hmm. automotive is A through G aligned, each yep. course.
Any comments? All right, hearing none, I call for the vote.
Mrs. Nguyen?
Yes.
Mr.
Martin? Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Harden?
Aye.
And Mr.
Aye. Item 6 is under business. We have item 6A to C.
I move we approve item 6A to C.
And the second.
I'll second.
Before we vote, just one little question. Do we have a total for the food service applied bid?
That's item 6B, right?
Yeah.
Can you want to hold on until we go to discussion?
If you don't have it, that's okay. I was just wondering if you have it handy.
Are you referring to a total or a total of all the bid of the awarded items?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we do not have a total, but I can get a total.
Okay, thank you. That's
Item 6A to approve the recommendation to approve the resolution number 12 to amend the bylaws governing the Citizen Bond Oversight Committee, which regard to section 1, 2, 3.2, and 5.4 of the bylaw on the Citizen Bond Oversight Committee. Item 6B to approve bid number 1701. For food and services and supply, to accept a bid for food services supply from Daxwell, Newport Farms, Paper Supply Company, Southwest School and Offices, item, trade supply, for the purchase of food-related products. Item 6C is to approve the purchase order and checks for a total amount of $34 million. $513,231.40. Any questions? Any comments? All right, now I'll call for the vote.
Mrs. Nguyen?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Mrs.
Rocco? Aye.
Mr. Harden?
Aye.
And Mr.
Aye. Item 7 is on approve the personnel report. We have item A to G. I mean, item C, we had a closed session earlier today with discussing a conference on labor negotiator with several district administrators and to discuss employee discipline, dismissal, and release, which the superintendent and her direct report as well. I need a motion for 7A and B.
Second the motion.
Thank you. Item 7A is to approve the certificate personnel report, and 7B is to approve the classified personnel report. Any comment? Hearing none, call for the vote.
Mr.
Aye.
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 Aye. That the last item on the agenda, motions, begin with the discussion by board members. Begin with you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Last week, I had the honor of attending a full-day workshop at the Orange County Department of Education, specifically designed to train student board reps like me. It was an amazing opportunity to learn about student leadership, and my role was the Board of Education. We also talked about issues like bullying, what schools go, not just the Garden Grove Unified School District, but Azusa, Riverside, all the boards that went. And we also talked about the racial issues and discrimination that happened. And one of the big issues that we talked about was transgender issues and LGBT issues and small tweaks and ways we could fix it and spread the awareness around the school.
Thank you. Ms. Nguyen?
I have no comments tonight.
All right, thank you. Mr. Minetan?
Yeah, I just want to warn you guys, it's going to be long comments today. I want to start off with acknowledging the tragedy that occurred in Las Vegas this past couple of days. I for one say that incident was an act of domestic terrorism, and I think calling it what it is very important to keep that dialogue in continuance. I hope that Congress can pass some type of gun control legislation that aims to prevent more countless deaths. And I think this is a real nonpartisan issue that can be done to ensure the safety of our children and families throughout the country. Because, sadly, it's almost becoming a norm to a lot of our students, waking up, seeing the news, seeing, all these tragedies occurring. And, it's just really sad to have to explain why people do these things. On a more positive note, I attended a couple of back-to-school nights, Doig, Santiago, and Warren. And in particular, I really enjoyed the Santiago back-to-school night because I saw a lot of my favorite people here in our cabinet. I went to the library and I saw Kelly McCamus there, and we were able to see all the renovations that they have done. And we kind of compared it. I think we coined a new term, the student union, for Santiago High School students to go out, hang out, and have a space to do their homework. And they're there late. They're there a little bit past 7 p.m., I believe. And I think that's a good resource to give our students, because a lot of the students probably lack computer at home. Maybe, it's a little bit difficult for them. So I think having the team opening up the space has been proven to be very helpful from what I've heard. I've also done a couple of school visits. I went to La Quinta and Rancho Alamitos. And really, it's really good for me to kind of go out into other trusty areas and kind of see, what other schools are doing. And today, in fact, I went to Rancho, and I actually saw our student board rep, and he turned around, he waved and smiled, and I was thinking, I hope he doesn't think I'm here to spy on him. But he was doing a really good job. He was paying attention and doing his work, so just that report. I did have a question for staff, because I did look at an article by the Orange County Register in regards to California mission projects. So I was just curious if we do still, in fact, do California mission projects for our fourth graders.
And yes, Trustee Newton, I did check in with school sites, and there are teachers that do still assign California mission projects. For the most part, they are all assigned for homework or extra credit, and sometimes are brought back to school for display at open house. After you heard about all of the new curriculum that we've already implemented, beginning this year, we'll start looking at social studies materials that for adoption and pilot for next year. And part of the change in the framework really reflects the kind of thing that you were reading about, which is taking away the emphasis on just the mission and the function of it and the building and recreating it, but really on looking at the perspective of how different groups of people within early California perceived the mission and what their experiences were. So we'll be making those kind of shifts as we look at new materials.
Awesome, thank you. And yeah, just like the article noted, there are a lot of districts that are kind of following that path and opting out of doing the project, because some people find it a little bit offensive due to the history of colonialism and things like that and our demographic change in the state. So it's good to see that we're following suit. Another thing that I kind of want to talk about, it's kind of a similar topic. Next Monday, October 9th, will be Columbus Day. And there has been a growing movement of city and school district officials replacing Columbus Day and instead observing Indigenous Peoples Day. Thousands of Americans have noted in numerous articles that they have an unfavorable view of Columbus and other European explorers like Hernan Cortes, that of course was responsible for the Spanish Inquisition in Mexico and lot of Latin American countries. Now, I don't need to give a history lesson on Columbus, and I know if Dr. West was here, he would love to do history lessons. But for those who don't know, Columbus made comments like they, as a Native Americans, were very well built and they should be good servants. This quote was taken out of his own, you know, diary, so I'm not making these things up. He used thousands of people. Personally, I believe for selfish reasons and in my opinion, you know, probably isn't a person that we really should be, in a way, idolizing or having with high regards. Columbus was not only guilty of treating Native Americans poorly, but our own government is also to blame as well for atrocities that were done to our nation's true founding fathers in the 1850s. John McDougall, which was a governor of California, declared a war of extermination against California Indians. In 1769, there were 300,000 Native Americans, and by 1900, that number had gone down to 17,000 Native Americans in the country. My goal is, hopefully with the support of my colleagues on the board, and discussing a possible resolution to observe Indigenous Peoples Day like many districts have done in our nation. I know I don't think we'll be able to do it in time for this upcoming Columbus Day. For the time being, I would like staff to be mindful when teaching our students, you know, history in regards to that. And unfortunately, many of our history books do not have a cultural perspective. It's rare when they apply the lens of people of color, the LGBT community, or historically disenfranchised communities. So I think it's our job as staff and district officials to teach our students history from all accounts of those indirectly involved from our nation's past. That is why I'm a firm advocate of ethnic studies, which I'm proud that we are starting to implement, dual immersion programs like Spanish and Vietnamese that promote a more equitable learning experience. The last thing I did want to comment on was in regards to the packet that we received from John Marsh and the rest of our staff on page 16, where it says GGUSD class of 2009. To me, that resembles very close to me because that was my graduating class of 2009. And looking at the 85.1% of those that have pursued a post-secondary education, I reflect on how I could have easily been that 14.9% that did not receive post-secondary education, and really utilizing that lessons that I learned in the past on how we can ensure that all of our students go on to get post-secondary education. And what changed for me wasn't the fact that I one day clicked and I started to grasp the material. It was because of Goal 2. It was because of things like critical pedagogy and this feeling that a lot of people find absurd or radical is that the educators or the staff have a true love for their students. And I know that's kind of, you know, weird. Oh, you love your students. Like, yeah, you love them like your family. That's the way that they're going to be able to thrive, and that's the way they're going to be able to graduate and go on to reach their goals. And I said it when I was sworn in, if it wasn't for Lon Wu and a lot of staff in our district that truly went above and beyond their job, I wouldn't be where I am today. So, you know, I'm just really excited about all the great things we're doing, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
You're going to beat me tonight. Still going back to school nights, Bryant and Anders, and interesting different areas in our district, but across the board, I saw at both schools a lot of enthusiasm from our teachers, our kids, our parents, a lot of passion from our teachers, and dedication. I think this year, more than ever, I've heard teachers say to parents, I'm treating your kids as if they were my own. I want you to come to me for anything. Here's how you can reach me. They're giving out their cell numbers, they're giving out their email addresses, and letting parents know that they can reach out anytime. And I marvel at that. I had the opportunity to go to Pacifica High School last week for a little program they did called A Bite of Reality. I think Rick Nakano was also there. And it was very fun, very interactive, but also very educational. What it was kind of a hands-on simulation of the kids getting a taste of the real world in the world of finance and what it might be like after they get out of high school. So our part as adults were to be different stations in life where you have to think about purchasing a home, a car, clothing, all kinds of things that we do on a day-to-day basis, and we don't give a second thought. But when kids are living at home with parents, and the time comes for them to move out, all of a sudden, all those things they took for granted become, could be overwhelming. And just finding that balance between what I need and what I want. So our job, were, as vendors, so to speak, was to try, and the kids didn't know this, to sell them. They had the opportunity to select from four different categories, different price ranges, and they wanted us to really push hard. So I took up my retail hat from old days to sell them the highest priced items, convince them that they need this. Because in the real world, when you go buy a car, you're really pressured by salesmen or when you buy a house or anything like that. And so it was really very eye-opening to see the kids. They had an app, and on that app told them, you know, what their profession was, what they made, the things that, what they owed, whether it was student loans or a mortgage or whatever. And they had money, and they had to take care of all of their needs. So they had time to go from station to station. And if they got in trouble because they spent all their money, they had the local credit union office that they would go and get some counseling, consulting. And sometimes they had to come back and say, you know, I have to change this. I don't think I need to pay the highest price for grooming products. I'll go with the lowest. I'll go with the Kmart brand and the Walmart brand because I realized that's not as important as this. So it was fun. It was a safe way for them to, you know, kind of try this. And I think it's a great program. I'd like to see more high schools do it. It was a matter of maybe, would you say about 2 hours, Rick? But well spent, really, time well spent. And the kids afterwards came up and talked about what they got out of this, what they learned, and so did the adults. Because it was eye-opening for us to see that some of our kids drove a hard bargain, though. I had funny too, they had a mate, they had a wife or a husband, and then a child, so they also had to make purchases for them. And so sometimes it was fun in the fact that boys would say, okay, well, I need these, you know, top of the line products for myself, but my wife can take this. So then a student next to him saying, are you crazy? You know, so it's interesting at how much information they had, and you can see some were much more savvy than others. And so it was really an excellent program, and really taught them a lot about making financial decisions and the challenges of just living on a budget. So we also had the outreach office had a liaison training that went very well. They continue to do an awesome job, and focusing on at the beginning of the year, making sure our liaisons have the resources and know where to get resources through the outreach office, online, focusing on interpretation. It's a big part of their job and what they do, and how to keep honing their skills on getting better, and even some of the challenges that they may have out at the school site, the opportunity to network with each other and talk to each other, which they don't often have, but I think builds good, solid relationships and a lot of good sharing of best practices. And lastly, Lon and Walter and I had the privilege of attending the Joyful Feast, which was a celebration, a 15-year celebration of Aaron Runyon's nonprofit, The Joyful Child. That's the just an awesome program that she and those that support her have developed and continue to work on. It empowers our K-6 kids with safety education and addresses all forms of violence that they may encounter, bullying, sexual abuse, abduction, but it teaches them verbal skills and physical skills to be able to defend themselves when we can't for them. And I think it's I appreciate that the district brought a table in support. I think it's a very good program, and I know that we are, I think, going to have a Boys and Girls Club is going to utilize the program. So, and I didn't know, and I learned that Arthur Cummings is a chairman of the board and has been for a number of years. And I think it's wonderful that we have people in our district that work with us that that do things like that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Mr. Harden?
I think I've already said enough tonight.
Thank you. Well, I have just a short comment. First of all, I really want to thank the staff for a very impressive launch party for the Vietnamese dual immersion language dual immersion program. I think we start out strong, but I know it's very challenging and difficult ahead. So I appreciate the staff taking the time out and be very deliberate about it, get it going. But we need to kind of wish them good luck, just get rolling, and then we will provide any support they need to support a program. So it's the same thing with the Spanish program at the Monroe School. That's going to be a dual program that we can look up to be proud of as we go. More you come along with that, and wish them the best of success for our kids, and especially our parents who commit themselves into the program. And let's see, we can deliver the best for the kid and the parent too. And also, last week I had a chance to join Trustee Rocco and Munetan to join at Joyful Child Foundation. It's practically the foundation that provides curriculum to the student to be assertive, to be brave. That's their motto. Be stand up to the bully and to protect and self-defense techniques. Something I think it's good. I didn't realize that. We were into the program all that many years. I didn't know about that thing. And they highlight Gando District so much in terms of helping them and spearheading the program there. And I myself was caught off guard because we were a star in that set of curriculum, and I'm very proud. And then I must appreciate the staff who were there even all along with us. And I didn't really pay attention to it. And had a vision that bring in that curriculum and help so many of our kids to be to take that step to protect themselves. And our program became some sort of the training ground for other districts to follow too. Now they have other districts like Westminster, and they want to duplicate a program out. And thank you to staff, whoever that was, in preparing that, and especially Dr. Arthur Cummins, the director of our student services. I really appreciate that. I didn't realize that we have a top dog in our program. Oh, thank you. That's all. All right, so I'm going to announce our future meeting. The next one will be on October 17. We're going to begin our program meeting at 7 for the study session, and we'll continue on at 5. At 5, I'm sorry. Study session, and then we'll continue a regular meeting at 7. And one after that will be November 7. Also have the study session begin at 5 p.m. And then the regular meeting will follow at 7 p.m. And with that, the meeting is now adjourned. Oh, yeah.